I've been asked by a number of people to speak on modesty and how it relates to the clothing that we wear. And I don't think that I've ever spoken on this as one whole message before, so this was the first time for me doing that. I've hit on parts of it, but I'm going to start it this morning, finish it tonight, and I just ask that you have an open heart. As I search the scriptures for this, I endeavored not to have any preconceived ideas, but just to go by what the scriptures say. So we shall begin this morning. The risk that you take when you take on a subject like this is some people think you don't take it far enough, and other people think you take it too far. So whatever I do, you let the Holy Spirit fill in the details for you, okay? Before I read the scripture, I'd like to begin with a story. I don't know exactly when this story took place. It was found in a magazine dated June of 1993, so I think it was pretty recent to that time. A man was fired by his company, who worked for Boeing, for not upholding their dress code. This employee underwent hormone therapy treatment in order to become a woman. He was planning on eventually having a sex change operation. During the year before the operation, he told Boeing of his intentions and asked permission to adopt the social role of a woman. The man was told that he could not use the women's restroom during this time or dress in feminine attire. Boeing stated that this employee could either wear male attire or unisex clothing, which the company defined as blouses, sweaters, slacks, flat shoes, and nylon stockings. He was told not to wear obviously feminine attire, such as dresses, skirts, or frilly blouses. When he would not comply, Boeing fired him for wearing excessively feminine attire in violation of company directives. The employee sued Boeing for handicap discrimination because he had gender dysphoria or discomfort with his anatomical sex. The case went all the way to the Supreme Court of the state of Washington. I'll tell you how that court case came out at the end of the message this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous or demon-possessed or demon-seduced times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Father, we ask your blessing upon this message today. Lord, help me to set a watch before my lips that I might say only those things which would be pleasing to you and the things which you would like me to say. Anoint each heart, Lord, I pray today that you would give a spirit of understanding to all that are under the sound of my voice. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. It seems like this passage is describing our day. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. They are deceiving and they are being deceived. Christians have lots of questions nowadays. What is appropriate dress and what kinds of things is it acceptable to do to the body and so forth? And I guess maybe one of the reasons why I've been asked to speak on this message is for the young ladies here, because your parents tell you something and it's nice to have what your parents tell you backed up by somebody else. Okay, so I'm endeavoring to back up what your parents are teaching you in these areas. And the Bible says that we are to pass on our convictions, and you know that hasn't happened a lot in a lot of places. Convictions change from generation to generation. But we need to pass on our convictions and give understanding as to the whys of life and why we do certain things, and in this particular instance, why we dress the way that we dress. But before we even begin, I would like you to notice verse 10 of that chapter. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. I want to say at the outset that I love every single one of you, and I hope that you still love me when I'm done. But I do love you, and I'm not picking on anybody here today. The fact that I love you encourages me to speak the truth on what the Scriptures have to say. I would just ask that you would keep your mind in tune with the Holy Spirit, because He is the one that guides into all truth. And if I'm wrong, I might be wrong. If you can show me from Scripture, I'd be happy to change any of this. But God uses the whole of His Word to teach things. And He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 16, all Scripture is inspired by God. It's given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And it's profitable to us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. So some of this might be correction. For instruction. For others, it might just be instructing you. You've never heard this before. But it's all to be done in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, or that's complete, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The idea of dressing, the theme of dress, is included over 1,400 times in the Bible. So it's a subject that God wants us to know and understand something about. First point I'd like to mention to you today is the language of clothing. There is a language that everyone speaks. This is the language we speak by the clothing that we wear. The main clothing of a Christian is not the clothing of the outside, but it's the clothing of the inside. The main clothing for the Christian is humility and righteousness for the heart and soul. Because of the heart and soul is not right, the outside will never be right either. The main clothing for the Christian is that inner clothing, the one that we don't see on the outside, but we see and we sense coming from your spirit. A person clothed with humility and righteousness has the attitude of a servant. A person clothed with humility and righteousness is teachable. People clothed with humility and righteousness don't have a problem making themselves accountable to others. People clothed with humility and righteousness are grateful. I heard George talking today as I walked into Sunday school about sometimes somebody teaches us something and it changes the way we had thought previously. We are grateful. I've been grateful for the times in my life when I have believed something and I was wrong in my belief and somebody was able to teach me the truth in that area. People clothed with righteousness and humility approach truth with the attitude that they want truth and they need to obey truth rather than to have an attitude of rebellion or resistance. Some of you might be here today already resisting what I'm saying just because of the topic that it is. Make sure that you are clothed with humility and righteousness and that you want and need to obey the truth. People clothed with humility and righteousness want to be like Jesus. People clothed with humility and righteousness are always concerned about their testimony and their public example. But the opposite of those things is also true. A person who is not clothed with humility and righteousness is probably clothed with pride and self-righteousness. They don't have the attitude of a servant. They seldom display an approachable or a teachable spirit. People not clothed with humility and righteousness tend to not have the attitude that they will follow God whatever it says. And I wonder if you could do that even right now, that you will purpose that whatever God teaches you in this area, you will follow. You'll lay aside the ideas that you have right now. Whatever God teaches you, you would be willing to follow. And you would be willing to make yourself accountable. People who are not clothed with humility and righteousness probably have a Pharisaical attitude at some time. They probably do not have a grateful spirit. They are not as concerned as they should be about their example before others and the influence that their life has on others. Your clothing speaks a language all of its own. A wolf, in order to deceive, may put on sheep's clothing, but no true lamb who knows what he is doing would want to wear wolf's clothing. Clothes describe a man or a woman. They speak a language about a person's life. The Bible always says that your clothing speaks a language. Beware of the attire of a harlot. She dresses a certain way. That's her lifestyle. You can tell because of the way she dresses, the way that she looks. Her clothing describes her. Your clothing is always saying something. They let others know who you admire and whose standards you have adopted. Because the greatest form of admiration is imitation. If we imitate the world, that is just proving that we admire, that we love the world. And the Bible says, don't love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Number two, inward and outward clothing should speak the same language. People with the right clothing on their hearts will want to wear the right clothing on their bodies, so that the language they speak on the outside is consistent with the language that they speak on the inside. If the clothing of the soul is not right, you will become like a Pharisee, acting better than the sinners around you who don't dress like you do. And I've seen that happen. Or on the other hand, you will probably not receive God's truth, no matter how clearly it could be presented to you. So don't let either one of those two extremes go by. Don't say, people don't dress like me, I'm better than them. That's the attitude of a Pharisee. They don't dress the way I think that they should dress. There's something wrong with them, I'm better than them. On the other hand, don't take the side and say that nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me how to dress or what I should look like. If a person has the right inside clothing, I think he will eventually get the right outside clothing. A person with the right clothing in his heart and soul is going to want to make sure that the clothing on his body is pleasing to God as well. The most important clothing is not the clothing of the body. The most important thing is the clothing of the soul. Now, if you don't see truth, that's one thing. I might speak today and I might speak to you about some things that you have done wrong. If you haven't seen the truth, that's fine. That's one thing. But to see the truth and then just rebel against the truth, that's another thing altogether. That's something else. Having said all that, let me say this. Outward clothing is important to God and therefore should be important to us. Number two, God's purposes for clothing. God's three purposes for clothing are protection, symbolism, and modesty. I know of two schools, there are probably more schools in the area, but I know of two schools, Eau Claire Memorial and Barron, who have dress codes this coming year. In fact, a family from Barron sent me their dress code. They're not to wear short tops with hip-hugger pants for the girls, not letting their stomach show. They're not supposed to wear mini skirts. They're not supposed to wear t-shirts that advertise. They've got some pretty strict standards, even in the public schools. Why? Because they realize there's a problem there. They want their girls, in particular, I think, to be protected. They don't want to advertise immoral, illegal stuff. And they realize that there's a problem with immodesty in our day. A person clothed with righteousness and humility would want to communicate the language of modesty instead of nakedness. And that's what the Bible calls it. It's modesty or nakedness. Modesty is properly restrained by a sense of propriety. Hence, not presumptuous or arrogant, not boastful, not loose or lewd, moderate, not excessive or extreme, not extravagant, includes dressing with the understanding that we are not to call attention to ourselves. Clothing is a reminder to us that we are sinners without the glory glow of God. God is clothed in light. We are sinners without that glory glow who need a blood sacrifice and a covering for our nakedness. Clothing, do you know, was the very first thing that God dealt with for both the man and the woman after they had sinned. In the garden, God came to them in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. And unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Modesty relates to morality. There is no question that revealing clothing worn by women today contributes to the depravity of our time. There is no question about it. And when we look at this, we cannot determine what is appropriate dress by ourselves. We need the help of the scriptures. We can't rely upon human reasoning. I want you to notice that God covered them with coats. And if you look at this, he covered the same area of the body for Adam as he did for Eve. God covered from the neck or the shoulders down to the knee on both the man and the woman. Coats are not tight-fitting garments. They don't reveal a person's shape. They're not tight-fitting. They're loose. The more nakedness we uncover as a nation, the higher number of crimes we can expect. The higher number of crimes we can expect in this area. So modesty, what is it? It's covering the parts of the body that God says that we are to cover. What God covered, himself. It's also being careful not to use any part of the body in a way that would entice others to sin. All Christians should dress in a way that is biblically correct, culturally acceptable, and doesn't try to draw attention to themselves or impress others with their dress. Their clothing, in other words, should be in good taste. A person clothed with humility would want to communicate the language of submission and acceptance of themselves rather than the language of rebellion and rejection of God's design. Our bodies in every way should declare that we are Christians and not heathens. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Bodies. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed. That word conformed is an interesting word. It literally means fashioned. Don't be fashioned after the world. In fact, it's translated that way in another place. Don't be fashioned after the world. The clothing, the jewelry that you wear, it's all an expression of who you are. 1 Timothy 2, 9 says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. The key word in the Bible in this area is the word apparel. Apparel. The Greek word is katastole. It means down. Stole means clothing or robe, which gives it the meaning of a long robe. The Bible says that the women adorn themselves with modest apparel or a modest long robe. If it's modest, then I think the Bible teaches that, ladies, your dresses should go down to your knees. You should not wear short shorts. Listen, Isaiah chapter 47, verses 1 through 3. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Here's the part we got to get to. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. Study that passage. You'll get some limits on what you wear as clothing. I think then the stomach shouldn't show. The fashion today is the girls wearing those short tops, hip-hugger jeans, or pants, letting their stomach show. According to the Bible, you are to be covered. At least, neck. Should not have the low neck, but from the neck down to the knees. Number two, the Bible emphasizes that there is a distinction between the clothing of a man and a woman. God makes a distinction between a man and a woman, between man's clothing and woman's clothing. God meant for men and women to be different. One of the signs of the end times is the fact that unisex is sweeping this country. The melting of the sexes together is upon us. In one college, an application asked, are you a male or a female? I know that some might have been joking, but 2% wrote undecided. In one college, a 240-pound football player was named the Carnival Queen. If you watch that homosexual stuff on TV and the blending of the sexes together, and you let your children watch it, I'm warning today, those children, your children are going to break your heart. I don't mean to be unkind, I mean to be helpful, but you need to watch. You need to be careful of what your children watch. And be careful about the blending of the sexes and homosexuality being acceptable lifestyles. Maybe you want to even be careful about what you name your children, what you call them for fun, call them for short. If you call your girl Jack, you should probably put an IE or LYN at the end and call her Jackie or Jacqueline. People name their boy feminist names, and then they let their hair grow long, and they wonder why that child takes on feminist characteristics. We are facing a concerted effort in our country to try to de-emphasize the sexes. Yes, I'm opposed to things that de-emphasize the sexes. Just the other day, we were going down the street, and there were two people on a bicycle coming up from behind them. I couldn't tell if they were a boy or a girl, man or woman, or what. You've known that. You walk down the street, you're behind somebody. You can't tell if that person is a man or a woman. I like to know that men are men and women are women. I'm opposed to things that try to de-emphasize the sexes. I believe that ladies ought to be sweet and loving and charming. Amen. Men ought to be strong and masculine. And I'm opposed to things that make a woman and a man act, look alike, and dress alike. So what is the devil is using? First of all, he's using clothes. In this area of unisex, what's he using? He's using clothes. Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. The devil is trying to break down the barrier of the sexes, and if you do anything to aid him, you're part of his work. I'm not going to get into an argument of what they wore in those days, but the point that I would just simply like to make this morning is that there was a difference. There was a difference between them. And ladies, you ought to ask your husbands what they want you to wear. And you should listen to them. And young ladies, you know how your dad wants you to dress. You should dress appropriately. You should dress like your dad wants you to dress. Because I'll warn you that if you don't, you are probably going to get into trouble. Men know how other men think. And all they are trying to do is offer you their protection. It's not that they're just old-fashioned or anything like that. They want to protect you. So listen to them. The devil's effort is to make one sex in this nation. What do you think the big deal with the gay marriages are? He's just trying to make one sex in this nation. Clothing stores boast that their line of clothing can be worn by either sex, including pantyhose. And by the way, there is not one verse in the Bible against men wearing pantyhose. I looked in my concordance, I searched it, but I couldn't find one verse in the Bible that told men not to wear pantyhose. But how many of you think pantyhose is women's clothing? Can I see your hand? Why do you think that? The reason you think that is because of Deuteronomy 22:5. The man shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. The same reasoning that says that a woman should not wear things that are considered a man's clothing is a reason that women shouldn't wear things that are considered men's clothing. If a man cannot wear a woman's garment, then women cannot wear a man's garment. Other clothing designers give unisex clothing fancy names to stay away from the unisex label, like dress-alikes or the couple look. A minister once performed a marriage ceremony and concluded it by saying, "Would one of you kiss the bride?" Do you know they have men's miniskirts? Can you imagine me in a miniskirt? Nah.
Do we have to?
Good point. What I'm saying is that God wants there to be a difference between the sexes. And this country, this country is in dire need of men. We are. We are in dire need of men who have standards and convictions and teach those standards and teach those convictions to their children.
Amen.
We'll teach them in church. Yes. And who are willing to suffer persecution because of it. Men have gotten the bad end of the deal for a long time. They've been made to be soft pushovers. We need men to take a stand. In the area of unisex, the devil is using clothes. He's also using long hair. It's considered by experts that long hair is part of the unisex movement. Barbershops advertise for men and women unisex haircuts. Somebody always says, "But what about Jesus? Didn't Jesus have long hair?" Do you think Jesus would go against the Word of God when it says it's a shame for a man to have long hair? 2 Corinthians 11:14. How about the Nazarite? The Nazarite vow. Didn't they take a vow that they wouldn't shave their heads? Yes, they went for a time not shaving. This was not their whole life. They went for a time that they did not shave their heads. But just after they got done with their vow, they shaved their heads. So they started out bald. If you start bald, you can let your hair grow a long time before it gets long. Interesting, as I was doing this study, in 2 Corinthians 11:14, where it says it's a shame for a man to have long hair, I looked up that word shame in the Greek. And then I looked at other passages where that word was used. And I was completely surprised to find that that same Greek word for shame is translated vile in Romans chapter 1, where it talks about the man leaving the natural use of the woman. And it's talking about sodomy and homosexuality. So the Bible says, not Pastor Rick, not Pastor Manning, the Bible gives you a link between long hair and homosexuality. Am I saying that those who have long hair are homosexuals? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that the Bible says there is a link between the two. In Romans 9, or in Revelation 9, where the demons come out of hell to attack people on the earth, and they sting like scorpions, and their sting leaves people paralyzed for 5 months. The Bible describes these creatures coming out of hell, and one of the descriptions is that they had hair like woman's hair. They had long hair. False religion is usually built on a breakdown of the sexes. One of the Greek gods was divided at the waist, the half top female, the lower half male, and both were worshipped. Heathen nations often worship gods half male and half female, split right down the middle. Listen, if you don't want to go to St. Paul, I got some advice for you. Stay off Interstate 94. And if you are against this homosexual agenda that we have in our day, and if you are against the unisex movement and the blending of the sexes, then don't participate in the things that devil is using to get this agenda through. Let's be different. The Bible hasn't changed. The question is, have we? You would want me to preach my convictions, wouldn't you? You would not want me to change. You would not want me to compromise. don't change either. I don't want you to change. I don't want you to compromise. I want you to have some convictions. George, why don't you come up here? Let's say George and I disagree on something. I say that it's okay for men to wear makeup. And George says it's wrong for men to wear makeup. But I say, George, can you show me a verse in the Bible that says, men, thou shalt not wear makeup?
Probably not. I can show you something that would relate similar.
Okay, that's right. He could draw out principles that relate somewhat similar. But what would be the safest route to take? My way or George's way? George's way. The safest thing to do would for men not to wear makeup. If we are not sure, the safest thing to do is to not do it, is to stay away from it.
Yep.
Thanks, George. If we disagree, the safest route is not to do it. And you will, listen, guys, you will never, ever be sorry, never, if you raise your daughters to be young ladies. You will never be sorry for that. And guys, don't say to the girls, come on, guys. They're not guys. Treat them like young ladies. Treat them differently. Don't treat them like you treat your boyfriends. Treat them like young ladies. And guys, boys, you act like gentlemen. A person clothed with righteousness and humility would want to learn their language from the shepherd, not the wolf. Is that right? We would like to know what God has to say about what clothing we should wear, not what the world says we should wear and how we should dress. Christians clothed with righteousness and humility will want to get their fashion designed from heaven instead of Hollywood. Spurgeon said, London gets their fashion straight from Paris, and Paris gets their fashion straight from hell. A person clothed with righteousness and humility will be willing to accept God-given responsibility for their example in this area. A former employee, a man, brought a lawsuit against Boeing for handicap discrimination because he had gender dysphoria. He could not accept the way God had made him. And he filed lawsuit when Boeing would not let him wear feminine clothing and fired him. The case went to the Washington State Supreme Court. The court ruled in Boeing's favor, agreeing with what they had defined as feminine attire. Even the world knows what clothing is appropriate, and obviously women's clothing. Could I have your head bowed and your eyes closed today? So I need to finish with a verse from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. The number one garment everyone should be sure they are wearing is the garment of salvation. That is the most important thing today. If you are here and you are not clothed with the garment of salvation, then you are naked spiritually. And the Bible says that you need to be clothed. You can clothe yourself with this garment by asking the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and life and make you a new creation. You can do that while you're where you are sitting today. Lord, give me the garment of salvation. I've said a lot of things today in a short amount of time. Some of these you might need to ponder, you might need to think about. Some of these you might need to go to the scriptures yourself on. That's fine. I'm not trying to establish your conviction for you today. I'm just simply trying to get you to think that the Bible has something to say on this subject. It has a lot to say. I've endeavored to live out my convictions before you, and I think you know that. Sometimes maybe I don't say as much as I should. I endeavor to live it out, to set an example for you. But I would just like you to remember two things today. or one thing. I would like you to remember your testimony and your influence on other people. And only you can answer the question, do you dress modestly? That's for women and guys, both. Do you dress modestly? If you have dressed immodestly, I wonder if you would just confess that to the Lord today. Just repent. The Lord will forgive you. And we don't hold anything against anybody here. We're not holding it against you. But if you repent, you know, that means you need to be willing to change too. Are you willing? Heavenly Father, your word has a lot to say on everything. Talks about every subject. Lord, I just pray today that we would all have a desire to do what you want us to do, to please you. As the song is being played, to walk in your ways. Lord, that would be the desire of every person here. Whether it's dress or whether it's anything else, we simply want to be pleasing to you. Give us the grace to be able to do that, Lord. Give us the strength to be able to be different in this world, that we wouldn't be conformed, but we would be renewed by the transformation and the changing of our mind. Help us to live in such a way that other people would notice us, but they would notice that we're different, that we would have a testimony for you. Help us not to cause any to stumble or fall by our example. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Show me your way.
Of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your ways.
Amen. I still love you. How many of you love me? All right, if you don't, see you up front. No, just kidding.